Here.
Star?
There.
Walker?
Here.
Wallace?
Here.
President DiPietro?
Here.
Foreign presence.
Thank you, Tracy. Can I have a motion to... Oh, and before we do this, let me remind you, because if we're on Zoom, if you do make a motion, please identify yourself at the beginning so Tracy can make sure she has the right name. Can I have a motion to dispense with the reading of December 21st minutes of the meeting and place them on file? Can I have an introduction, please?
Ryan.
Ryan and Dewan seconds. All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? The motion carries. Committee reports are on your desks. Again, can I have an introduction, please, to place committee reports on file? An introduction?
Dewan?
And a second. I'm sorry, did you say?
I'll second this time.
Ryan seconds. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Okay. Anybody opposed? The motion carries. We have some communications that you might want to read at your convenience. Can I have a motion to receive? Remember, receiving these communications does not imply any agreement or any position whatsoever on the communications. Can I have a motion to receive the communications, please?
Ryan.
And Dewan seconds. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye, please.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay, that's that business. Before we're going to have ADK back shortly to talk again about and answer your questions this time about their proposal for the former JLE school. Before that, though, I just want to make one announcement. As all the council members know, but the public doesn't, the legal committee has been appointed. I'm sorry I couldn't do this at our last meeting, but as you recall, I was not in the best of shape. The legal committee will be Theo Anthony, Art Frick, Muhammad Rani, Ryan Wallace, and Margaret Morris. And I proposed to them that they pick their own chair at their first meeting. So that's and further committees and ad hoc committees will be announced as we go forward. Okay, so going to, you may recall, I take it back. You don't recall because not all of you were on the council at the time. ADK has been here telling us, previewing their proposal for the former JLE. Now, I'm sure Victor Salerno is here, I believe. Yeah, there he is. And he'll run through the slides fairly quickly again. But the idea now is for you, and you've already been sent to you, to you can ask him all the questions you'd like to ask. Remember, we're only being asked to do something to change the possible zoning of the building. And even doing that doesn't guarantee that this project will go forward. It's just what they need to be able to go forward with their application when they apply to the state and elsewhere. So, Victor, are you there? If you are, you're muted.
I am here, I apologize. Let me turn on my video here.
Okay.
Good evening, everyone. How are you?
Okay.
Well, so we submitted, on the last call, or I guess it was one of the last meetings in December, went through a presentation of the development. I don't know if anyone has that in front of them, but we walked through it and kind of gave you a high level overview of the development. And I think the purpose of this call was to have kind of see if anyone has any questions and kind of take it to the next level as far as questions are concerned.
Yes. From the council. As I said, you know, you're not looking, I mean, this is a very early stage in this whole project. And you're looking simply for a zoning and perhaps maybe I think also eventually down the line you'll be looking for a variance in the a variance as well?
Yeah, in the rear height. The building will look like it's I believe it's 3 stories from the front, but it will actually be 5 stories in the rear, is what I believe it is. And I'm actually pulling it up on my computer here. Mm-hmm. So there would be likely need to be a variance in the rear. So from the street level, though, it would look just like a 3-story development. In the rear, though, because it's built into a hill, there would need to be some additional height restrictions, because I believe the zoning that we are putting in for is limited to, I think it's 3 or 4 stories. And again, it's from the street, it would look like it's 3 stories, but the reality is because of the hill, a portion of the building is going to be built into the hill that would require a potential variance. And the property is currently zoned single family. So the existing school building is already a non-conforming use. And what we would be doing is we'd be expanding the existing R4 zoning that's adjacent to the site to cover this site.
Right. Can you just post a picture real quickly or a couple of the slides?
Yeah, let me try to do this. I have it open on my computer. I'm going to try to share the screen. I apologize. There we go. Share screen.
Ah, okay. You're halfway there.
Here we go. Can you see it now?
No.
Actual proposal?
No.
You can't see the presentation?
No.
We can see your file index.
Yeah.
Oh, my file index. Great. Okay, let me load my file index. Let's see if I open.
There it is.
Oh. How about now? No?
Nope.
Let me try something else. Here we go. How about now?
There you go.
Okay. Sorry about that. So the building itself, the rendering, so here's the site location. I'll make it a little bigger. This is kind of the current, it overlaid on the current site. So the actual building will effectively be the same overall shape as the existing building and kind of fill in that zone. The daycare facility that we'd be building as part of this, really at no cost to the town, is in front and separately located, so it's a different entrance. So you'll see we'll create a green space with kind of like a reflecting pool. These are some additional renderings that show what it'll look like. I'll try to blow this up a little bit more. So to the right is the daycare facility. The building itself is the 3-story building. On the left, now let's see if I can go down to some of these lower. Let's see. Different angle. That's from the other angle. Now let me scroll out real quick and go down to the actual. Oops. Sorry, I've got a little pop up that keeps coming right where I want to maneuver my mouse. Oops, I went too far. All right, hold on 1 second. I apologize. So that's it in a nutshell. Now let's see. I think we shared last time some additional layouts. I'm trying to find them that showed the site. Let me see if I can't go back here. Let's see. There are some pictures. I am not seeing them right now. Enzo, are you on this call? Oh, here they are, I think. No, that's not them.
Well, look, we're not making any decisions.
Yeah, we
tonight.
Have some additional plans. I was hoping to show the backside so you could sort of see what it looks like.
Oh, okay.
But it's the same exact style. It's just because of the slope of the hill, there's two extra stories.
So right.
The building will look like three stories, which is roughly the height because of the gymnasium and some of the other features.
Mm-hmm.
It's roughly the height that the current structure is, just very... I think it's like maybe 5 feet taller, and it takes up that same footprint. So visually from the neighborhood or the street, it would look very similar to the current layout of the building. But I think it would be, you know, a more attractive building than the school is likely. But, you know, that's the idea in a nutshell.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
Oh. Yeah, questions from the council. Please raise your hand so that I can...
Tom, I had raised my hand.
Okay, let me get over... Oh, okay. Ah, yeah, I see a bunch of hands. Actually, you're the first, Margaret. Thank you. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I attended the meeting in December, and I also saw the presentation, I guess, in the middle of last year, where it looked very different.
Mm.
Initially, your organization was planning to rehab the existing building. In December, you had changed plans to say that, having looked at it, you were going to tear down the building and rebuild, which seems like a fairly dramatic change and makes me wonder about how much due diligence went on in the first plan. And so I have four very specific questions for you, and I would like to answer each of them. When I researched your organization, Adirondack, it does seem to me to be a spin-off of an organization in Texas. I could only find a listing where there are three employees in Adirondack, you being one of them, and it's based out of New York City. I would like to know what your relationship is with the company in, my first question, with the company in Texas, and if it's true that you have only three employees. My second question is, how many developments has Adirondack, not your parent company, how many developments has Adirondack actually put in place, where are they, and how could we look at what you've actually accomplished as the company Adirondack? Let me finish my four questions.
Sure.
So I would like to understand how you went from an initial proposal to refurbish a building to then saying, no, we're going to gut it and rebuild. And in your presentation in December, you indicated that you had been working with the president of the council and with the mayor in developing your current proposal. So I'd like to hear more about that. And then finally, marketing. You presented information on, you did a soft marketing for 1 week. I would like to know how many of the people who responded to you with an interest in this property were actually from Hudson, the city of Hudson, the 2 square miles, as opposed to Columbia County. So those are four specific questions for you.
Right. Okay, well, that's a lot there. I will try to take them all in order as best I can. The first is generally about the switch from an adaptive reuse plan to a demolition and reuse. So that was the initial plan. We had hoped to do an adaptive reuse. The reality of the situation with a school building of this type of nature, where there basically have been, I think it's 4 or 5 major additions over a 50-year period, it made it extremely difficult to build a cohesive development. And I think that was some of the initial frustration with some of the plans where we had some multiple structures that weren't really tied up together. And they also were, you know, the school units, you can't really combine them because it's a concrete structure that is very difficult to combine units. So it really, it ended up being, there was a lot of dead space in the development. There was just, it wasn't cohesive. We had, what we felt were too many studio units for, you know, seniors tend to have a lot of one bedroom and studio type units, but, you know, we really didn't, we wanted to have more of a balanced setup. So ultimately, in order to do kind of the development that we envisioned for the site from the beginning, it really made a lot more sense to just tear down the building and start. So we really focused on trying to do an adaptive reuse because that's a, you know, some of our discussions where that was kind of that maybe potentially a desired outcome for the school that a lot of people had gone to. And, you know, we really wanted to try to do that because we are, you know, firm believers in adaptive reuse. But in order to really have this development be what we felt would be appropriate and to have it be much more cohesive, really kind of had to come down. So that's why we did it. As far as due diligence is concerned, I mean, we do normal due diligence on site. And adaptive reuse is always a very difficult process. You know, we had our head of construction come and look at the site, and also Enzo, who's one of the principals, came and looked at it, and we walked through the building. But yeah, I mean, it's, you never know until you get into it what you can do. And then working with the architect, we don't do architectural design work before we go on to contract. So, and again, our goal was to do an adaptive reuse, but we couldn't do it. The next question you had is about our company. So, and I think we made it clear in the presentation that you have that we are one of a series of sister companies. So there's Mayfair Management Group, which is the one in Texas. That's primarily a third-party management company. They're one of the top 50 affordable management companies in the country. We manage about 120 apartments. There's about 16,000 units. And that entity is based in Dallas. That company has about 400 employees and is headed up by Carlos Cepeda, who's the CEO, who's also one of the partners and is on this call. And is run by our president, Suzanne Klein, who has over 40 years experience in the property management building sector. Most recently, she was a vice president of operations for Dominium, which is one of the largest owners of affordable housing. As far as our development company is concerned, we have about four or five employees, but they're all shared employees with the management company. So I am, you know, full time on it. We've got a team and we're a sister company. So yeah, the development company, while we've got a number of people who contribute to it, including some of our operations people, it's a development company. So typically a development company will not have a massive staff, especially when we have an operating company that holds the bulk of the staff. And then we've got another company called Piedmont Construction, which is a contractor that it basically currently does work on our managed properties and we'll be developing this. Now we brought a head of construction who is on board, but has not yet come on board. He's finishing up a major development in New York City. And we'll be starting with our developments when we break ground. But Adirondack has it's a new entity in that it is it's a new platform that is our proprietary platform. But the principals in our platform, and Enzo can talk to this a little bit, have constructed and developed more than 25,000 apartments or condominium units over a 30-40 year period. So while you may not see a ton of information, you know, that on the internet about it, our team has a tremendous experience. Enzo, do you want to chime in on any of that? Do you have anything you want to add?
Can I just respond to what you just said?
Hey, can you make me co-host, please?
Questions on some of the things you're saying. I did actually research that there is, in fact, a management company.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Which manages apartments. That's not the same thing as a company that does development of physical buildings. So you're indicating that Adirondack is a new entity, and that you're a new platform for an organization that has developed 25,000 units in a 30-40 year period. How many of those units were in New York State?
A number of them. I'd say several thousand, but again, they were probably 15 years ago. Enzo, do you want to?
Can you tell us something about those developments, where they are? And you still have not answered the marketing question about how many of the people who responded.
I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be. I'm trying to answer. You answered a four-part question. So I'm trying to get to it in a cohesive manner. So, you know, I'm working my way through your question.
I gladly answer the questions for New York State developments. We've developed in upstate New York since 1979. We've done several thousand units up there from the Rochester to Syracuse to Watertown. Our current head of construction is building in Flushing, New York, where he's building 300 units, a hotel component, which is completely separate, and also retail. That's over 1.5 million square feet. That's just in the New York State area alone. Throughout the country, where we currently have 12 other projects currently underway, we're in Illinois, South Carolina, North Carolina, Florida, Texas, and
Louisiana,
and Ohio. Hopefully that can give you some light.
Yeah, no, that's helpful. But since Adirondack has only been in business or in existence for a couple of years, I assume that the properties that you have developed and built since 1979 were done under a different company.
That's correct. And my father, he couldn't be here for this call, but yes, he is the founder and chairman, and he's done over 25,000 units in the history. Yeah.
And the name of that company?
That's just under Mileto Construction. Yeah, that's a long time ago.
Yeah, and we can give you a roster of some of our developments.
I think that would be very helpful.
Yeah, okay. And then as far as the marketing efforts are concerned, yes, those efforts were, and I don't know if Carlos is on, he really headed up that initiative. But we basically, it was based in Hudson. So the interest list was developed from a targeted ad campaign, online ad campaign in Hudson. It was a very small campaign, but it did garner a lot of interest. And I think we shared with you guys, or maybe we didn't, but we have a list of names. I wouldn't want to share that necessarily, but you know, they gave us names and phone numbers of people who were interested in learning more. It made it very clear that this is for senior development, focusing on individuals who are 55 years and older.
And when you say targeted ad campaign, where did you advertise?
Carlos, if you can hear, if you are there, if you can chime in, or if you can text me the name of
that. That was, just to jump in real quick, that was an internet advertisement we've done just simply through Facebook and those kind of media outlets.
Yeah, I think it was a Facebook ad.
Facebook to whom?
It was a targeted
ad. So the way internet, we have a whole marketing department. I mean, we've leased up over 15,000 apartments are managing. So, you know, we, as part of that, have an in-house marketing guy who does targeted ads on things such as Facebook, Zillow, apartments.com, and when people go to them, they have ads, and those ads are what we did, and people clicked on and registered interest and received information as we progress. You know, we said it's coming in whatever, you know, 2024. So it makes it clear that it's a future development, and if they're interested, and we keep updating those typically through moving forward as we go down the development process, we build bigger and bigger lists and then start mailing them and say, you know, we're now leasing, come on in. And that's how that process works. So what it does is it allows us to get a leg up in leasing.
One thing to be specific, if you need to know names of the sites to target, are like Zillow, apartments.com, Trulia, those type of...
What I am much more interested in is whether or not you have, and I'm not interested in people's names, whether or not you have any breakdown of where the people who responded with an interest were currently residing. And, you know, Hudson has it's a pretty big zip code, but actually the city of Hudson is 2 square miles. And I am very interested in knowing what the reach of your ads was so that we can understand where the interest was coming from. Is it a broader Columbia County interest? What exactly, who is this target audience? And I didn't have a sense of that from your presentation.
Margaret, all your questions are fantastic, but I will point out that if you look at the SHAP report, the Strategic Housing Action Plan, you'll see that this category of housing was clearly identified through that report. Just want to point that out. I'm not...
I have read that report, okay. And I do know that.
Well, then you'd know that it's been identified.
I'm just really trying to focus in here on variants that were presented in December. I had questions about exactly where the interest was.
Sure.
I had questions about a company that's been in existence for...
No, we've heard them. We heard you. We're great.
Yeah.
Those are all great.
Yeah, those are all my questions. I'm done.
And that was just a point of information. Dominic, you're up next.
Thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Thank you. Thanks. I know it's early in the process, so I'm just trying to get some clarifications, these asking for amendments coming to the city. Isn't there still need a referendum for the school district to agree to the purchase price that doesn't necessarily include Hudson, but it's a bigger...
That is correct.
If the school district does not agree, is the amendments needed, or is there going to be another area? I know there's going to be an RFP going out for other locations for development. Is that going to be something to look at, or if it doesn't go through, the project is scrapped?
Absolutely. I mean, as you know, and have pointed out correctly, that it requires a referendum, and I'm not sure... that was clear also from Margaret's questions, but this is not a city property. This is a Hudson School District property. They're the ones who have been in negotiation with ADK. We the city are talking to them about this zoning change. We are not in negotiation to sell the building or the property. So yes, Dominic, you are correct. If the city rejects the sale, If the community, the voters in the Hudson School District reject the sale, everything would be scrapped. But let me also point out, if we rezone it, well, anything that's going to go in there is probably going to involve some kind of rezoning or zoning change. Because as you heard, right now it is a one-family residential zone. So anything would involve some kind of change. Does that answer your question, Dominic? Hello?
Yeah, but I'll also, yes, are you there?
Yeah, we hear you.
Yeah. I was just also, if the project goes away for the school district, is there going to be interest from the developer to look at other locations that we have available?
Oh, from this developer?
Yes.
Oh,
absolutely.
I see what you're saying.
I appreciate their interest in coming in Hudson, but you know, I don't want, you know, all eggs in one basket when there could be other opportunities.
That's up to them.
That could also be amendable.
Yeah, no idea. But thank you.
I apologize, everyone. I had a power outage, so I dropped. So I'm now calling in through my phone, although it looks like the power is starting to try to want to come back on. But so I missed some of this. But
there was just some clarification, but there was one question that you could answer, Victor. Dominic Moranti wanted to know, if this project doesn't go through, would you be interested in other locations in the city of Hudson?
Yes, we would. In fact, we've actually, I know there's a an RFP out there for some other sites, so we would be interested. And, but at the same time, we also have, you know, a lot of money into this deal and would really ideally want to see that this one through.
Okay, well, I think that's all we're going to spend on this tonight. You'll be back. I want to get that slide presentation to the new members so they have more questions. And then, of course, we'll engage the public before we come up with the actual resolutions. So thank you, Victor.
Like Ryan emailed something of that proposal. I'm not sure if that's the most updated or not. Thanks, Ryan.
The one from the old council.
Oh, thank you, Ryan. You just sent it? Oh, okay. There you go. Okay, so let's move on. Thank you, Victor, and your team.
Excuse me.
No, we're not taking community comments yet. Sorry.
Will you be taking them later?
We always do.
Okay, thank you.
Moving right along. Before we go to any of the resolutions, I'd like to skip, because I can see there's family waiting, to resolution number 9. Shaheen, can you post resolution number 9, please?
Which resolution exactly is that?
It's appointing Amber Harris to the vacant Third Ward Alderman position. There we go. Now, this is simply to, you know, get this done at the top of the meeting. Unfortunately, because we're not live, Amber can't be sworn in tonight. So she will not be able to vote, even though she will be appointed. So, as you can see, Amber put herself forward. You've all read her letter asking to be the Third Ward Alderman in her support, even though she was not elected during the normal election. She did have quite a few write-in votes. So, therefore, this resolution, can I have an introduction to appoint Amber Harris? Ryan.
Introduction.
Oh, boy, there's a lot. Ryan was there for the introduction. Who would like to second?
Duan.
Oh, that was close. I think Duan got it.
We'll get a
Duan. Duan got there first.
So, is there any conversation, or can we go right to the roll call vote?
I got a question. I apologize. The earlier one I saw, unless it was corrected, it said to December 31st, 2022. Does that mean there's got to be another appointment or a special election?
A special election.
Okay, so in November, there's a special election.
Yeah.
I just want to clarify, because I just understand that.
Yeah, that's according to the charter, yeah. Thank you.
Tom, what is the process for that? Why is this not just an appointment to the current council for the next 2 years?
Because that's how the charter demands it.
Okay.
I mean, outlines, I shouldn't say demands it or sets it up. Okay, so let's have the roll call vote then, please. Tracy.
Alderman Anthony.
Aye.
Seth Galuti.
Aye.
Frick.
Aye.
Moranti.
Aye.
Warren.
Aye.
Roney.
Aye.
Bauer?
Aye.
Walker?
Aye.
Wallace?
Aye.
President
DiPietro? Aye.
Perry?
Amber, welcome to the Common Council. If you go in, will you be available tomorrow, Tracy, to swear her in?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. You're now a member of this esteemed and venerated grouping. Anything you'd like to say before we move on with other business?
All right. Thank you guys for having me. I look forward to working with all of you.
Great.
Welcome, Adam. Welcome, Adam.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Okay. Shaheem, can we go back to the number one, resolution number one? A roll call vote, please, Tracy.
Alderman Anthony.
Aye.
Beth Galuti.
Aye.
Frick.
Aye.
Franti.
Sorry, what resolution is this?
It's Commissioner Deeds, right? Yes.
Yeah.
Aye. Thank you.
Warren.
Aye.
Roney.
Aye.
Starr.
Aye.
Walker.
So, excuse me, aye.
Fowler.
Aye.
S. M. C. Pietro.
Aye.
Harry.
Thank you, Tracy. The next resolution reappoints David Konigsberg, Hillary Hillman, Tom O'Dowd, and Michael O'Hara to the Conservation Advisory Council. Can I have a roll call vote, please, Tracy?
Alderman Anthony.
Aye.
Aye.
Beth Galuti.
Aye.
Frick.
Aye.
Moranti.
Aye.
Morin.
Aye.
Roney.
Aye.
Starr.
Aye.
Walker.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
S. M. C. Pietro.
Aye.
Harry.
Thank you, Tracy. The next resolution accepts a donation from Pop-Up Factory LLC to purchase and install Soto radar equipment. Once again, a donation that was, shall we say, engineered or put into place by Council Member Descaludi. Can I have a roll call vote, please?
Alderman Anthony.
Aye.
Descaludi.
Aye.
Frick.
Aye.
Moranti.
Aye.
Warren.
Aye.
Roney.
Aye.
Starr.
Aye.
Walker.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
Presidency Pietro.
Aye.
Harry.
Thank you, Tracy. Okay, we get to the new resolutions, which means, of course, we can discuss. I mean, there may be cause to discuss the. I'm sorry, no, we're not to the new ones. Yes, this is also introduced in second and last week. This is the renewal of senior citizen tax disability exemptions. Can I have a roll call vote, please, Tracy?
Alderman Anthony.
Aye.
Beth Galuti.
Aye.
Frick.
Aye.
Moranti.
Aye.
Morris.
Aye.
Roney.
Aye.
Starr.
Aye.
Walker.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
President DiPietro.
Aye.
Harry.
Thank you. Now we get to the new resolutions. Shaheem, the first resolution is to authorize the issuance of an RFP for grant writing services. Our most recent grant writers, their contract expired at the end of the year, and this is to get proposals from new grant writers. We've already budgeted $30,000 for the purpose of retaining grant writing services for the upcoming year. Any questions from council members? In that case, can I have an introduction, please?
Alderman
Tom, there are two hands up.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Darn.
Go ahead, Vicky.
Let me get over here. Yeah. Hold on a second. Wait. Oh, Art Frick. Go ahead, Art. You're first. Oh, I see. You were being a gentleman. Vicky, go ahead.
I was just wondering, how many grants do we have? Do we write a year, approximately?
Well, it's interesting. It's I would say, well, last year were quite a few at the last minute. Hard to judge. I would say three or four. You know, it depending on the grant. It depends on how fast we exhaust our contract with the grant writers.
So we need to have somebody on a retainer. It cannot be just hire them as we go if we need somebody.
This is actually, we're going to get proposals that propose both ideas. Sometimes it's somebody who will just charge us by the grant. Other times it'll be putting someone on retainer, and then the grants get charged against the retainer. So both generally are offered.
Okay.
Arthur.
Just for my own knowledge, how did we arrive at $30,000?
That's been sort of the general. Last year, I think it was 26.
You're correct, Tom. It was 26, and then there was one that we ended up approving as a council to be able to have more work done.
An extra
done.
Work done, yeah. It's kind of a base amount, because if we do need more grants to be written, we will, you know, go to the general fund or wherever we have money available.
Okay, so this is just sort of like this is what we're thinking, but if we this isn't like, you know, this is all the grant money that we can spend, you know, this is all the grant writing money that we can spend. Okay, thank you.
Yes.
Just wanted clarity.
Yep. Okay, lower his hand. I have to remember to keep the participant section open so I can see your hands. Okay, so did I get an introduction? No. Can I have an introduction, please?
I'll introduce Tom.
Ryan, a second?
I'll second it.
Ronnie, seconds? And a roll call vote, please. Tracy?
Alderman Anthony.
Aye.
Vassaluti.
Aye.
Frick.
Aye.
Maranti.
Aye.
Forrest?
Aye.
Roney?
Aye.
Starr?
Aye.
Walker?
Aye.
Wallace?
Aye.
DiPietro?
Aye. Okay, the next resolution asks the New York State Senate and Assembly to pass legislation extending tax law 1202DD, which authorizes submission of a home rule notice. And this, of course, is in order to extend our lodging tax legislation. Any questions from council members? Ryan.
This is just a continuation of what we had previously, correct?
Correct. It expires, I believe, every 3 years.
3 years. Okay.
Any other questions? Can I have an introduction, please?
You want?
And a second.
Ryan.
A roll call vote, please, Tracy.
Alderman Anthony.
Aye.
Vassaluti.
Aye.
Frick.
Aye.
Maranti.
Aye.
Forrest.
Aye.
Roney.
Aye.
Starr?
Aye.
Walker?
Aye.
Wallace?
Aye.
President DiPietro?
Aye.
Harry.
Next resolution. This is the authorization for the mayor to execute an agreement with New York State DEC, Department of Environmental Conservation, and to authorize our local match for the WQIP Water Improvement Project. As you know, this comes from the sewer fund. So it doesn't, you know, Can I have an introduction, please, first?
Duan,
Ryan, second. Any questions? Vicky.
Yeah, I was just wondering if there's a time frame for this project.
That I couldn't answer. Go ahead.
Yeah, and what is, do we have an estimate of how much it will cost?
I believe that was in his presentation last week, but I may be mistaken.
Okay.
I'll try to get that for you.
Okay.
You want a timeline and overall cost?
Yes.
Okay.
I think Rob has one entire presentation available about the separation of the stormwater runoff.
Right. Last week.
Present that back in like September or so.
Oh, it was in September? Okay.
Yeah, it was that or early Q4.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'll dig it out for Vicky. Okay.
Tom, would you mind? Sorry to cut in. Would you mind just sending that to the group? I'd love to see that as well.
Okay.
Tom, I have my hand.
Margaret, yes, I see. Hold on. Oh, go ahead.
Yep. So I think this relates to something that was in the presentation at our last meeting,
mm-hmm.
where there was a very explicit statement that no further extensions would be granted. So to follow up on Vicky's question. I think we really need timeline on this. And while the city may feel that, oh, well, that's pro forma, they always say no further extensions will be granted. If it is what I think it is, I think we really need a timeline and we need a little bit more clarity here because I'm not really comfortable with something where the state is saying no further extensions be granted. And then the city representative saying, oh, that doesn't matter. They always say that. So I'd really like to see a timeline on this. And realistic extension requests submitted to the state so that the project can be completed.
Okay. Now, you're saying we shouldn't approve this resolution because of that? Or are you just saying separately?
No, I had questions in this presentation, and I was not very satisfied with the answers. Being told that, oh, well, the state always does that doesn't make me feel very comfortable because in the event that the state decides that they're actually going to abide by what they've submitted to us in writing puts us in a bad place. And I think this is not a very very good way to do business.
Mm-hmm.
Quite frankly. I would strongly agree with Margaret on that.
Who is that, Arthur?
Yes.
Okay, well, so let's table this then. And we'll bring it up and we'll get Rob back in here.
No. I'm going to raise my hand.
Who is that? I'm sorry, who is that?
Oh, that's me.
Who's me?
Heather, sorry, I forgot I was muted.
Oh, Heather, go ahead.
Yeah, one of the reasons why it's important to pass this is because I understand exactly what Margaret and Art are saying, but the state is a fickle beast. And one thing that they are going to want to see, despite the fact that they are saying that it's the last extension, what they want to see is that the city is actually taking some action toward this larger project. To give you a little bit of background, since Rob isn't here, we've had the money that they're currently saying they're not going to renew for several years. It was specifically being held because the project is so large that we needed not just the previous WPIP grant we got, but also the one that we've currently applied for and received. All of those funds are necessary to make that project happen. I would strongly recommend that you approve this resolution because that will be the evidence that the city can turn back to the state and say, here now we have all the pieces in place so that we can proceed with this project. Please give us one more extension. There's no downside to doing it, frankly. And my understanding is that is how things happen very often, particularly, no offense, with DEC.
Arthur
just
has,
my comment.
Oh, sorry. Thank you.
Tom, if I may.
Hold on. Oh, who's that?
The mayor.
Oh.
I just want to echo
sorry.
what what Heather just said. I was also in those meetings with Rob, and we were waiting on a grant basically to coincide with the funds. We did receive that grant, so we now are in position to complete this particular grant. So I would echo that this definitely needs to go through tonight.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Art Frick, did you have a quick question?
Yeah, my vote wasn't for tabling this resolution. My request, as I understood it from Margaret, was merely a timeline and reasonable extension so that we're not consistently behind, feeling as though we're behind the ball.
Okay.
It seems like poor form for a city government to be perpetually reactive and not thoughtful and pragmatic.
Absolutely. Agreed. Michael Hoffman had his hand up. Michael?
I just wanted to also offer the point of information that the other grant that has been continually extended is through the CDBG program and not the WQIP program. So that's another smaller grant that is attached to this project. That is not the $1.4 million that's mentioned here, but is a separate grant program in the state.
Thank you. Margaret, your hand's up.
Yes, so Art exactly captured what I was trying to say, which is that I'm not saying that we should not approve this and have
thank you for
your input on that. My concern is that I felt that it was a little bit flippant to just say, oh, that's how it is. We just keep asking for extensions. They always say this. I just don't think that's a good approach to government.
Absolutely. Thank you, Margaret. So in that case, I guess we will go ahead with the roll call vote, please. Tracy.
Alderman Anthony.
Aye.
Escaludi.
Aye.
Frick.
Aye.
I'm sorry.
Arthur.
Aye.
Oh.
Thank you. Maranthi.
I want to thank Heather and the mayor for clarification. I think that gave us a little bit more clarity. Aye.
Forrest.
Aye.
Roney?
Aye.
Thaw?
Aye.
Walker?
Aye.
Wallace?
Aye.
And DiPietro?
Aye.
Harry?
Okay. Yes, thank you, Heather, for explaining things a little more on that, and the mayor. The next resolution. This is authorizes the mayor to execute his contract with the school district for the reimbursement provided to for the services provided by the Hudson PD. Can I have an introduction, please, first?
Dewan,
and a second.
Ryan.
Any conversation or questions or comments?
Sorry, I didn't raise my hand, but I was just wondering what types of services that the Hudson Police Department is providing that would be reimbursed under this?
It's a school officer.
The resource officer.
Resource offers. It's technical title, yes. Ryan, you have your hand up?
Yeah, my only question is, because Dr. Suttmeyer theoretically retired, is she still interim right now? Because I thought that we hired the woman that was the superintendent for Newburgh, correct?
Mm-hmm,
was that
mm-hmm.
it started?
Yeah.
So then do we need to update page 5 where Dr. Suttmeyer would not be the one to sign it?
On the actual contract?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sure they'll fix that.
Okay,
roll call vote then, please, Tracy.
Alderman Anthony.
Aye.
Beth Galuti.
Aye.
Frick.
Aye.
Maranthi.
Aye.
Forrest.
Aye.
Roney.
Aye.
Thaw.
Aye.
Walker?
Aye.
Wallace?
Aye.
Cousin DiPietro.
Aye.
Harry.
Thank you, Tracy. The next resolution is a authorizes some fund transfers. As you can see, can I have an introduction, please?
Ronnie.
And a second, please.
Duan.
Any comments or questions?
Yeah, Art has a question.
Okay.
I was wondering if it was reasonable and or not a catastrophe if, like, what personnel services represented the 2275. Like, I feel like these are kind of large buckets of things, and I'm just curious, like, you know, I think I would like a little more detail on this particular report, and I don't know who or what lever can be pulled where that magic thing happens.
Well, it's a tough question, Art, for a number of reasons. First of all, our budget is such that this is how it appears in the budget, these line items. Very vague, very hard to really parse. Beyond that, it's also confusing because, as you see, in one, two, three of them involve, oh no, four, moving money from personal services, which is actually personnel, to other budget items in the various aspects of the budget. These are all from DPW, and these are all for the 2021 budget. These are not for the for what's happening right now, by the way. I don't know how to answer it because, you know, I don't know. I mean, why are those personnel lines over budgeted? That might be a legitimate question, which is certainly not, you know, answerable right now. I mean, I ask it all the time at the BEA. Why does it consistently have, why do we consistently have chargebacks from personnel lines? Why, you know, I think some of the answers are the short-term answers. For example, Rob will budget a certain amount of money for snow removal personnel. If we don't have that much snow, there's money left over in that account. So that's one area where it's good. I mean, where it's easy to understand. Now, buildings, I have no idea why that was over budgeted. And there's money there to move. I don't know. Heather, do you have anything you could add to this? If you're there, Heather?
Yeah, I'm here. This isn't untypical at the end of the year. Obviously, when you develop a budget, you do your best estimates in terms of where your expenses are going to lie, and they don't always come in that way. I think Tom's description about snow personal services was excellent. That's very true. One thing that we find also is, you know, you have to budget assuming that you're going to be have your full complement of employees for the whole year. But chances are good in DPW specifically that may not happen. You have people that get hired. You get people that leave. You have a gap. You don't see that activity as much in the smaller departments because you generally have union employees that have been there for, you know, 10 years and they're not going anywhere and nobody gets to hire anybody else. So you definitely have a lot more flexibility or variability, I guess is a better word, in terms of personal services in DPW. Having said that, I signed off on this. I thought it was reasonable, but I absolutely encourage you to continue to look at these critically. And one thing I would say is if you see, you know, all of a sudden there's, oh, I don't know, $100,000 being transferred out of different lines so you can buy a shiny truck, you might want to question that. I think that's a reasonable question. But it's like anybody's household budget. You know, you don't know. Your utility bill comes in higher one day. Your home insurance, you get a discount because you've been safe. These are not significant amounts of money when you realize that the overall DPW budget is north of $2 million. So this is really just about making sure that we can pay the bills that we need to pay using the money that has already been allocated toward that department.
So, and I encourage you, Art, to dig down into our budget. I've, you know, from the moment I've been involved, I've wanted as many council members as possible to do that. And of course, during the BEA season is the real, your real opportunity to comment on these things and to really contribute. Having said all that, can I have a roll call vote, please, Tracy?
Alderman Anthony.
Aye.
Jeff Galuti.
Aye.
Frick.
Aye.
Moranti.
Again, thank you, Heather. Aye.
Morin.
Aye.
Roney.
Aye.
Bella.
Aye.
Walker.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
President
DiPietro. Aye.
Harry.
Next resolution, please, Shaheem. A much smaller transfer. And let me remind you, for the newcomers or those who are unaware, you know, there are separate funds for water, sewer, and cemetery. They don't touch the other main fund, the general fund, that most city operations come from, or the rest of the city operations come from. Anyway, this is a small transfer within the water fund. Can I have an introduction first?
Ryan.
And a second. Someone?
Duan.
Thank you, Duan. A roll call vote. Any questions? A roll call vote, please, Tracy.
Alderman Anthony.
Aye.
Beth Galuti.
Aye.
Frick.
Aye.
Moranti.
Aye.
Morin.
Aye.
Roney.
Aye.
Sauer.
Aye.
Walker.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
President DiPietro.
Aye. The next resolution, please. Okay. As you know, one of the problem areas in the Department of Justice settlement with the city involving our ADA compliance involves the Oakdale Beach House. This is a resolution authorizing a feasibility study for how to create a compliant Oakdale Beach House. Let's first have an introduction.
Ryan.
Second?
Second.
Who was that? Duan. Questions? And let me point out, when we do, you'll notice it says use of fund balance. You should be particularly attentive to resolutions that require us to use the fund balance. Because as you might guess, that's something you would like to be there and to be, you know, ample. But occasionally we have to use it. Questions? I heard somebody...
Sorry, Tom, I didn't raise my hand.
That's okay. Go ahead.
I would really hope that this assessment would be a really comprehensive. I spent some time with Liz and Peter at the beach house.
Great.
There's some pretty significant work that needs to be done there. And I would really hope that this assessment would really look at the facility as a whole, not just, you know, the ADA piece is very important, but this could also be a really significant building for the city and venue and resource for the city where it is located. And I'm hoping that this study will... lay out what is possible in that location, because it has great possibilities that I really would like to see us addressing.
Oh, I agree 100%. And I think, you know, once we have the study, it opens up, it creates the first stage for getting future funding. in terms exactly. of grants.
Tom?
Yes, sir.
So when you said the fund balance, but I thought this money originated from a surplus on each farm.
Well, that's a good interesting. Was that this one, or was it something else?
No, can I answer that?
Oh, Heather, yeah, Heather.
Sorry, I'm still trying to figure out how to raise my hand. I am not finding the icon to do it, so I apologize that I interrupt.
Okay.
It's under reactions.
You have
to go to reactions, and then for reactions, you have a
series.
Also,
thank you, everyone.
Also, you can just do
raising your hand.
Also, you can just do option Y if you are a little hotkey.
Awesome. Oh, I'm a totally hotkey girl, yeah.
All right.
So the reason why it's becoming out of fund balance is because it was approved in 2021 and it was using some of the excess funds that were available in the youth department. However, because the RFP was not able to be issued in 2021, we can't legally encumber the funds. If we had been able to issue an RFP in 2021 and had a contract in place, we could encumber the funds, which is, the council still has to approve it, but it's kind of basically a kind of like a automatic default budget amendment to the following year.
Uh-huh.
Encumbrances are basically, I committed to this, I have a contract for it, the city's obligated to pay it, but we're not getting the invoice until the following year. Let's move those monies from 2021 to 2022. Because the RFP was not actually issued, we don't have that as an option, but at the same time, that $30,000, which would have been encumbered, is now going to drop to fund balance, which is basically the difference between our revenues and our expenditures drops to fund balance. So we're basically just taking the money that we had committed in 2021 and adding it back to the 2022 budget based on the timing issue with the RFP and the contract.
Perfect. Thank you, Heather. Okay, let's have a roll call vote, please.
Alderman Anthony.
Aye.
Beth Saluti.
Aye.
Frick.
Aye.
Maranti.
Again, thank you, Heather. You're working overtime. Aye.
Warren.
Aye.
Roney.
Aye.
Starr.
Aye.
Walker?
Absolutely. Aye.
Thank you. Wallace?
Aye.
President DiPietro?
Aye.
Harry?
Next resolution, please, Shaheem. This is an easy one. It's accepting a donation from someone named Austin Fragaman III. And Orfeo LLC for 200 from the first, 50 from the second, to as donations to the firehouse. Can I have an introduction, please?
Ryan.
Duan.
And Duan second. Any conversation or other than thank you to both? Can I have a roll call vote, please?
Alderman Anthony.
Aye.
Escaludi.
Aye.
Frick?
Aye.
Maranti?
Aye.
Warren?
Aye.
Roney?
Aye.
Thara?
Aye.
Walker?
Aye.
Wallace?
Aye.
President DiPietro?
Aye.
Harry?
Thank you, Tracy. The next is a fund transfer within the fire department budget. As you can see, nothing really major. Can I have an introduction, please?
Ryan.
A second, please.
Yeah.
Duan. Duan.
Theo got it. Okay.
I'm sorry. Oh, who got it? Theo? Sorry. Yeah, it helps if you say your name when you do it, because it's a little easier that way for everyone. Anyway, any questions or comments?
I just want to comment, Tom, that, I mean, this is all pretty standard, especially if anybody realizes exactly how busy our fire department has been over the past 3 and 4 days alone between the hospital, the fire on Lower Columbia, and numerous calls about frozen pipes, broken pipes, smells of gas and whatnot. So I just want to put out there a huge thank you to them for being so responsive.
Okay. Roll call vote, please.
Alderman Anthony.
Aye.
Beth Galuti.
Aye.
Frick.
Aye.
Maranti.
Aye.
Morris.
Aye.
Roney.
Aye.
Stella.
Aye.
Walker.
I also want to thank our fire department for their hard work. Aye.
Wallace?
Aye.
President
DiPietro? Aye.
Perry?
Next resolution, please, Shaheem. Okay, this is a resolution authorizing a structural condition assessment of number 1012 Warren Street. That is currently the daycare center and all with the apartment above. As you know, it's been closed down because of structural problems. So this is to get an assessment of what's actually needed. Let's start with an introduction.
I'll introduce Tom.
And a second, please.
Second.
That's Malachi, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Any comments or questions?
Yes. This is Margaret. I have a question.
Go ahead.
So, this is a really important social resource in Hudson.
Mm-hmm.
It has been for quite some time. In the event that we're doing this evaluation to see what is required and so forth. What is the city's plan to try to reinstitute and put in place this very important service to people in Hudson?
Right. Well, I can tell you that this assessment is necessary for us to proceed with a current grant that we're seeking to completely address the problems of the daycare center. So yes, we are trying to, we can't go forward with the grant proposal unless we have this assessment. So yes.
And so at the moment, what's happening with the daycare center?
It's not operating. It hasn't been for some time now.
I know that. I do know it hasn't been operating. So while this is moving forward and so forth, is there any interim plan? Is there anything
to
try to put some daycare services in place so that they can function?
I think Columbia Opportunities took up some of this slack opening site.
That's good to know. I did not know that, but who would know is Maya Reed, since she's on the board and very active. I can't. Who's that?
It's me again.
Oh, hi, Mayor.
So I just want to make a point that the daycare center is not a city function. They're a separate, not-for-profit, but the city is working with them to kind of get the building up to speed. When we met with the state about a huge grant that can bring the building back where we need it to be, this is kind of the information that they told us they're going to need for us to go forward. We're currently working with the daycare to try to find a temporary space in the meantime, but as everybody knows, space is not something that's readily available in Hudson, as well as space that can provide for a daycare center, because it has to meet specific qualifications. Mm-hmm. So we are in constant contact with the daycare and their board, and right now this is the first step to getting in the right direction.
Okay, thank you.
Hey, Tom.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Who's that?
Duan.
Okay, Duan.
You said we need to do this for the grant. Yes. Know how much you're looking at for the grant? How much is it?
I believe it's $500,000.
Thank you.
Mayor, is that, or I think Michael, Michael Hoffman, are you there?
Yeah, sure. I can answer that. The grant application is in two parts. The first part that would be for the renovation of homes would be for, we're now discussing for $500,000. The rehabilitation of the daycare center is looking to be higher than that, between $600,000 to $700,000.
Thank you, Michael. Mm-hmm. Can I have a roll call vote, please?
Tom, I got a question.
Oh, sorry. Oh.
So I know. I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry. I just noticed Maya Reed is here to answer some questions. But go ahead, Dominic. You first.
Thank you. So at one point, this property was going to be, you know, on the list for sale because we didn't want to be in the landlord business at one time.
Mm-hmm.
So if we commit to this grant, are we locking ourselves in now to hold the building, for one? And, you know, one of the projects that on this new ADK was a daycare. So if that comes to fruition, is there going to be need for daycare if this building is now renovated? So I'm trying to think in terms of, you know where we're at here in terms of wrap my head around it.
I've been trying to, you know, put it all together too. And, you know, I think as Margaret suggested, the urgency of having this daycare suggests that we really should pursue working with what we have at number 10. Yes. And to further answer your question, I think if we do get the grant, we will be having to commit to using it for those purposes for a number of years. I don't know. Usually that happens. I don't know what the demand will be, but yes, that'll be part of the deal. Now, if the ADK project went through and another daycare center evolved or came about on that property, well, all the more the merrier. Because believe me, there is definitely a daycare need throughout the city that goes beyond number 10. So, yeah. So I don't know. I don't know if that answers your question fully, but I was in favor of the city unloading this building, but at the present, I think we have to stick with it. Anything else?
If I may just interject, this
Maya. Yeah, Maya, you had your hand up. What's up?
Yeah, I did, and then I put it down because everybody was saying very important things. I just wanted to just say that, you know, this has been a really tricky situation with COVID and then the daycare, you know, reopening and then also sort of planning a next reopening. It's been very difficult. And then with the structural issues on top of it, there's been so much effort to get the daycare center back up, serving the families and the children and the community. So I want to thank Tom and Kamal and everyone who's been involved in trying to figure out the best way forward in this very, very difficult situation, because daycares, of course, require a lot of state-mandated sort of facility, regulations to care for children well. So finding a temporary space has also proven to be very, very challenging. So, I really appreciate all the efforts that have gone into saying we have this space. It's in the center, you know, it's available to families, foot, car. So to try to keep this up and running and getting it going as soon as possible is sort of where we've landed right now.
Thank you, Maya. Amber Harris has her hand up. Amber?
Yes. So I know, like, our goal is to get this back up and running as soon as possible, but do we have a timetable? Like, if this resolution passes from the state of New York yet, like, how long this will take, like, 6 to 12 months, like, 4 to 5? Like, do we have a timetable as to how long this will be yet?
Michael.
Tom, if I may, I can answer that.
Okay.
So if we receive the grant, we are under strict orders that work has to be done in 12 months, which works for us as well, because we want to make this move as fast as possible.
Does that answer your question, Amber? And you debuted with an excellent question. With that, let's have a roll call vote, please.
Alderman Anthony.
Aye.
Pascaluti.
Aye.
Frick.
Aye.
Moranti.
Aye.
Morris.
Yes.
Roney.
Aye.
Barr.
Aye.
Walker.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
Present DiPietro.
Aye.
Harry.
Okay. This is a night of assessments and feasibility studies. The next one, let's see. That's it. About 400 State Street. As you know, this is, we've already taken the money from the Gallivan Foundation to assess a building that they are willing to give to us if we find that it can be used for our purposes. This is a resolution to go forward. To authorize the mayor to execute a contract with the firm we have selected to do that study. And that is Lacey Thaler Riley Wilson. Can I have an introduction first?
Do I?
And a second. Second?
Ronnie,
thank you. Questions from the council. Vicky, your hand's up.
Yes, so although I do find the building to be absolutely beautiful, I have renovated a lot of houses, a lot of old buildings in the past, and I can confidently say that it will cost a tremendous amount of money for renovating it, and it will heavily burden the residents, the taxpayers. I find the proposal was very misleading on my mind because offering the 1.4 prior to a study can be perceived that is a good deal for some, but the truth is it is good if the repairs are 2 million, but not good if it's 20 million. And I feel that this common council does not have to be tied up with decisions of the prior common council. And especially since the 100,000 have not been received or run through the system yet. And I strongly suggest that we should not pursue it any further.
Okay.
Tom, I am not able to raise my hand for some reason. My screen changed. Okay. I want to agree with Vicky on this. So I've been following this fairly closely. I moved to Hudson in 2010. At that time, I had a good friend who was very active with the library during the period where the library was trying to acquire the building from the school. They acquired it. They embarked on a capital fundraising project. A study was done, I think, in 2007, 2008, that their capital fundraising was based on at that time, which is 15 years ago. The estimates were 8.8 million. At least 3 million of that was in really basic stuff like foundation and masonry repair. At this point, it's probably more like, I think Vicky is right, 15, 20 million. And as I was following all of this as a member of the public last year, I did not think it was a good idea for us to accept the money from Galvan. I don't think it's a good idea for us to accept the gift of this building, which is in fact really a liability. Yes, it will be wonderful if it could be saved. And I would recommend to Galvan that they start trying to get it listed, work with the state, work with preservation organizations, start raising funds to preserve it, potentially as a Columbia County Museum, whatever. But I am very much opposed to our moving any further forward on this particular project, and I cannot, you know, I understand that we agreed to, that the previous council agreed to accept the money. I understand that an RFP was issued, that an entity was identified and so forth, but I really cannot in good conscience vote to approve allowing the mayor to move forward with a contract with the entity that was identified for all of the reasons that I've laid out.
Okay, let me just address one of them. That assessment done in 2007 is a lot of work has been done in terms of remediation since then. So that number may no longer be accurate. Putting that
Tom, to my knowledge, one of the things that the library did.
Margaret, I didn't interrupt you. Please don't interrupt me.
Okay, fair enough.
Now I've lost my train. What I was saying is the number of things have been done to the building in the interim that significantly would lower the cost of a lot of those assessments. And by the way, that assessment was not done in the same fashion that this one would be done. What did you want to say, Margaret?
Yeah, so I do know that money was raised to fix the roof. That I know. Mm-hmm. I know that some work was done on some of the windows because my friend was very vocal and active in this whole thing. So I know that some of that was done. I also know that, at least I think, that Galvan paid less for the building than the library fundraising folks had actually invested in trying to repair the building. So they got it pretty much for very little. So there's that. Mm-hmm. But I do not believe that the foundation repair work was done. I do not believe that any significant work was done on repairing the masonry, which was a big ticket item in that assessment.
Okay.
And I do not think that any asbestos removal has been conducted, which is another item. And that doesn't even touch the old assessment, which occurred before I moved to Hudson. I came here in 2010. The old assessment was about trying to refurbish the building as a library. So this doesn't even touch what it would take to make this a fully ADA compliant city hall. So there's the whole interior work that's not even part of
that. Of course,
of
course, is what the assessment would do. Yeah. Okay, Ronnie, do you have something you'd like to add?
I'm in agreement with Alderman Duskaludi and Morris that it is a huge undertaking, but I would also invite the mayor or the mayor's aide to comment on this, as it is a resolution that is authorizing the mayor's office to
That's not really, it's only saying the mayor would sign this. It doesn't really seek the mayor's opinion. But if the mayor wants to chime in, he's certainly welcome to. In the meantime, let me just get a couple of things perspective here. We're not making any commitment to anything other than allowing a architecture firm to make the full assessment of what's going on in that building. It doesn't require us to take the building. And if you're all right, if you're actually correct, and I don't think, Margaret, I think a key term in what you were saying was your belief. You don't really seem to have proof that any of those things haven't been done, because I do know there has been some asbestos remediation. Putting all that aside, you're fair enough what both you and Vicky are saying. I'm just pointing out, this does not commit us to anything. It allows the building to be assessed. And if you're both right, the assessment will come back and tell us that it is way out of line for the city to spend that kind of money. That's all I will say. Now, Vicky, you have your hand up?
Yes. One more thing I want to say.
Sure.
From our current point of view, this $100,000 donation is a tax deduction for the developer, which I don't think it's appropriate. And I find the whole proposal to be done wrongly, because it's really, the developer, the owner, should have just done the study, come up with a proposal to us, and we would just review it. And hopefully it will be something we will go ahead. I definitely think something should be done with that building in the future. It is a beautiful building. It's just the way this proposal is not for the benefit of the city. That's what I have to say. And we shouldn't really be helping his taxes with his tax deduction. It's not the right way to do it.
Of course, hold on a second, Margaret. It's not his personal deduction, of course. It's a deduction for the foundation, which is a nonprofit. Dewan had his hand up next. Dewan, you're muted.
Hey, first of all, I'd like to thank Galvin about the donation. My concern is, after that study, if it come out more than, you know, we can afford, we could turn it down, right?
Of course. You know. We have no obligation. Okay. None.
Okay. One more thing. Why don't Galvin do the study and give us a presentation?
Well, know, so we could... that's an interesting question. I think the answer to that is that if they did the study, we would have no reason to consider it. Well, let's be frank. We would consider it a biased study. This means we control the study. That's the idea here. If Galvin did the study themselves, we would have no reason to accept it as a, of you know, there would be bias involved.
Okay.
Amber, would you like to speak?
So a couple of questions here. So with the assessment from Galvin, like, do we know like what our next step is? If they come back and say, okay, the building can be rehabable, we're able to fix it. Like, are we going to like hold them accountable to a timetable to fix this building? Like, okay, you have, let's just say 24 months to fix this building.
No.
Type of thing, or if they come back.
Wait, no. It's not Galvin who would be doing it. The city would then decide whether we wanted to do it.
Okay.
So, Tom, as I indicate, I cannot raise my hand for some reason.
Very odd, but okay. Go ahead.
So I just want to echo what Vicky has said.
Okay.
And something that I find curious is that Galvan is in possession and has been in possession of a building for 10 years now that is vacant and at this point derelict. And I would prefer to see the city approaching Galvan and asking them what they are going to do to remediate this building, because it is their responsibility.
Well, I'm
to
not
sure. The building.
What makes you call it derelict?
Just looking at it.
Well, I don't think it qualifies as derelict by any city code standards. And secondly, I don't think it's really the city's place to tell the Galvan Foundation what to do with their buildings. I mean, they're a private entity.
If the building is dangerous,
if it is, but you're assuming it is. I don't think there's. I think that's an incorrect assumption.
Has code enforcement gone in and assessed?
Of course.
And they find it to be structurally sound and not a danger.
Well, I mean, I don't want to say that any definitive, but I, you know, you're speculating, and I don't want to speculate about it. So maybe if you call Craig.
Okay. So if you have a report from code enforcement. That has gone in and looked at this.
No, that's not.
That's great. We can publish that for the public to look at.
I don't think that's the way things work, Margaret. If someone has identified a problem, code enforcement would be informed and they would go assess it to see if there is a code problem. The building's just. Who's that now? Okay, we have other. I'm sorry, Theo. You have your hand up.
I'm just a question. I'm wondering if the feasibility study was conducted and the study was presented to us, what is the amount of labor involved in, on the part of the city council and on the part of zoning committees? What would happen next? Sort of building on Amber's question about timeline, what would we have to do about it?
Well, then we'd have to decide whether we wanted to accept the gift of the building. And if we accepted it, along with the $1 million also coming with it, would we want to develop the building? I mean...
I think a clear way of just saying that is, who would present the materials for interpretation to... Would there be a presentation?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
My question is, who would be putting that together? Would it be the architects?
Lacey Thaler, the group that's proposed in this resolution. Lacey Thaler... would be the architect who made the presentation, as they did with JLE, and as they did with City Hall. Dominic, is that you?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Go ahead.
So I just want to be consistent in my thoughts here. You know,
sure.
We did spend $30,000 on the feasibility study for John Edwards, which to me made a little bit more sense in terms of what the offering was for that location, you know, to daycare, everything, kind of youth center. So, where are we at in terms of moving forward to this building? I'm just not, again, I'm just being consistent. I just don't see a really good outcome for the city Even if we are spending someone else's money, I just don't, in good conscience, thinking that, you know, it's just, you know, in comparison to John O. Edwards to the building, I love the building, but John O. Edwards to me made more sense. And I supported that initiative to move forward with City Hall. So, you know, I think we're just spinning some wheels here on some regard for something that, you know, is just not reality. And that's just
okay. No, I understand your sentiment, Dominic, but let me remind you, if we were, the other option down the road is to try to make the existing City Hall completely ADA compliant. And as you know, if we go through with this one, and I'm not, you know, we haven't voted on it yet, we will have three basic proposals on how to make a City Hall completely ADA compliant. JLE doesn't seem to be in the picture anymore. There was no groundswell of support to move City Hall there. This is the one in front of us right now seems to be unpopular with the current some members of the current council. But recall, we also have a proposal from the same. And by the way, it's the same architecture firm who's doing all of these. Who has done the previous two, and their proposal to make the current City Hall ADA compliant, I don't have the figure in front of me, but I do believe it was upwards of $6 million. So, look, if we want a fully compliant ADA compliant City Hall, we're going to have to spend money somewhere. Now, I totally understand if all of you, if the majority of you don't want to proceed with this, that's your decision. But it puts another option on the table. And that's, I think, all that we really need more to be said before I ask Tracy for a roll call vote. If you're there, Tracy.
I am here. Alderman Anthony.
I'm going to abstain from this vote.
Escaludi?
No.
Rick?
I will abstain.
Maranti?
Again, I'm going to be consistent with my vote from earlier. Abstain.
Warren?
Who's next?
Morris.
Margaret, are you there? Did she lose contact? I don't see her in the meeting. She must have lost contact. We'll come back to her, although I can pretty much predict what she'll say.
Roni?
Abstain.
Dewan still with us? We seem to be losing people. Oh, no, there he is. Dewan?
I'm here. I'm abstained.
I'm sorry?
He abstained.
Thank you. Walker?
I'm also going to abstain.
Tom, I got dropped from the meeting.
That's what I... Margaret? I know. We suspected that, Margaret. But you can vote now. And
I dialed in using the phone number, so we're taking the vote now?
Yes, and we're going to come back to you, and it's not hard to predict how you're going to vote.
My vote is no.
We figured that. Not that we said that, but yes. Okay, and who's left?
That's fair enough.
who's left?
Wallace.
No. Nay.
Well, just for the hell of it, I will vote yes. But and remind everybody else that an abstention, if you recall from the rules of order, is a no vote. So I believe we have a 9-1 vote, and the resolution fails miserably. Okay. Let's move along. Next resolution, please, Shaheen. Nope. There's one. Oh, no, sorry, that was right. Sorry. My mistake. As you know, the part of the DRA, DRI money, it, one of our DRI, Whoa. One of our DRI projects is the rehabilitation and adaptive reuse of the Dunn Warehouse. So we put out one request for interest at one point. It did not have a very, it had one very sort of lukewarm response. And now we are changing our, we're putting out an RFP, as you've seen the attached RFP. And this is to just authorize the issuance of the RFP. So let's start with an introduction.
Brian.
And a second.
Go on.
Thank you. Comments, questions? Dominic, that's you, I believe.
Thank you. Yep, it's me. Just a question on what happened to our $500,000 that we got for the renovations or some repairs?
Oh, it's still there. Done. It's part of the... In fact, in the RFP, you will see, I believe, mentioned both... There are two grants. One is the DRI, which I believe is $1 million, and the Restore New York grant was 600, but we used some of it to remediate the roof problem. So, yes, it's still there. It's not going away. Does that answer your question?
Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
Ryan, you're up next.
My only concern to put on record is that we have an inordinate amount of items that are stored there at the graciousness of DPW from time to time. So I think that while this happens, we need to figure out what we do for the storage of a lot of the equipment and whatnot that we have in there.
Yeah, that's okay.
You're laughing as I'm laughing too, because the next question is where does that go then?
Because we're not going to hold up the development of the building because we have a couple of things in there. But I know there's been one of the biggest. There was a lot of HCDPA and HDC. I'm sorry, HCDPA. excuse me. Records there, and HCDPA has been consistently working on getting them all out.
Okay, good.
Amber, question from you.
Okay, so I know we got $10 million from the DRI. Do we have a complete list of where all the money's going for
individual?
I know that's a lot, but can we get that sent out to everybody in the current
council? Well, it's not quite like that. The city did not get $10 million. The city government. We got closer to $6 million. And I know that a lot of you are new to what we've done, but some of it has been used. As you know, Promenade Park will be probably completed in the early spring. And we'll have a final figure on what that all came out of, how much was spent on that. The next significant project is, of course, the Complete Streets project, or what we're calling, I forget what we're calling it right now because I'm... a connectivity project of the DRI district, and that's all accounted for too, or will be. If you would like a complete rundown of the city dimensions of the DRI, I'd be happy to forward that to you. It's on the city website, and as we get further along into the connectivity project as well as the Dunn project. And our other two sort of smaller projects, which are Fugery and a workforce project, you'll see more information as we meet. But the DRI committee has not been meeting because basically it's right now it's just logistics for getting these projects done. And of course, not to press a pun, but the Dunn Warehouse is the next big project. And you'll be hearing a lot more about that when we get proposals after this RFP is issued. Margaret, question or comment?
Yes, I was able to get back on.
I see you found your hand, by the way.
I was unable to find the RFP. Ooh. Where is that posted?
That's a good question.
Reader can't find it.
I'm sorry.
Excuse me.
Who? It wasn't me. I don't know who said that.
Art.
Oh, Art.
Sorry, Margaret. I couldn't find it either.
Yeah.
Okay. It's
so the bottom line, Tom, is before I vote on anything relating to this, I want to see the actual RFP.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know whether or not the, because there is a question out there. We had the waterfront meeting, I guess, a couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
There are certain parcels of waterfront property. I want to know whether they are included or not included.
They are not.
They are not. But I would actually like to read the RFP before I can vote on this. I need to see the RFP.
Okay.
Should I make a motion to table this so we can have more time to read the RFP?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I thought it was attached. Hold on one second.
They're all on the city website if you'd like me to send an email to everybody.
Yeah, that would be good. And Ryan, I think it would be really helpful also for the public to make it very clear where the RFP is.
Okay. Okay, that'll just slow down the project for another month, but that's okay.
Also want to say, Tom, I think, and maybe you can clarify that, you know, some of these projects do have a timetable with the clock with the DRI, so there is some expedience on, you know, getting this through, but understanding, you know, getting a knowledge of what we're voting on. But yeah.
Certainly. No, I have no objection. Like I said, I thought the RFP had been attached in some fashion, and it wasn't.
We need a second to my motion.
I'm sorry. What did you say? You want what was your motion?
To table it to next.
Okay.
Second, Morris, second.
Okay. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Anybody opposed? Good. We'll table that till the next meeting. Or perhaps have a special meeting just so that we can move this along a little faster.
I would recommend the special meeting.
Then wait until... okay. So, Shaheem, can we move along to the next resolution, please? Okay, no controversy here. Insight Computers. And this was... Oh, can I have an introduction first?
You want?
And a second?
Margaret.
Margaret? No, got Margaret beat you, whoever that was. And once again, Councilmember Descaluti was able to negotiate a donation to the youth department, which was looking for computers, and that's what this is. So, Vicki, thank you once again.
Can I
have a roll call vote, please?
Alderman Anthony.
Aye.
Descaluti.
Aye.
Rick.
Aye.
Maranti.
Again, great job, all the women. Descaluti. Aye.
Thank you.
Warren.
Aye.
Roney.
I'd like to thank Alderwoman Descaluti again for doing such commendable work even before she took the oath of office. Aye.
Thank you, Ryan.
Yeah, I'd like to thank Vicki too. That's a good job, good work. Thank you, Vicki. And aye.
Thank you. Walker?
Let me continue to pour it on. Thank you, Vicki, for your tremendous work.
Thank you, guys.
Aye.
Wallace.
Another congratulations to Vicki, and it is an aye with the exception that we have this approved by the mayor with an R and not mayo that goes on my sandwich.
Okay. Oh.
Cousin DiPietro.
Aye.
Harry.
Thank you, Tracy. Okay. Next resolution approves the final payment of a tourism board grant to the Second Saturdays. Is this the one? Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, to Second Saturdays. Can I have an introduction, please?
I'll introduce.
A second, please.
Do you want?
Questions, comments? Margaret, by the way, I noticed you figured out how to raise your hand. That's wonderful.
Well, no, I didn't figure it out. I knew how to do it. I just got dropped from the meeting, so I couldn't raise my hand.
Oh, okay. Who was it? Somebody couldn't figure it out. Sorry.
I just do have one question on this, Tom. What exactly is Second Saturdays?
That was a program. Well, I'll let Ryan describe it since he sort of took over the tourism board.
Yeah, so, Margaret, basically, if you're familiar down in the city, they have something called First Thursdays, which essentially is a way to rally businesses and restaurants to stay open late and the galleries stay open late and an opportunity to try to get people to better understand their local art scene and hopefully invest in the local artists that are carried in the galleries. A group under the Project Hudson elements that were established by the tourism board last year begat Second Saturdays up here in that same vein. So it's the second Saturday of every month whereby the galleries stay open late and they partner with the local restaurants as well to try to do cross promotions so that it fosters a behavioral shift in getting people to actually stay out later in Hudson rather than just the joke that I like to make is that we still kind of roll up our streets at 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock. So it's an effort to extend business hours and whatnot. They provided receipts during the December Tourism Board meeting. And so they've approached us asking for the second half of the pre-approved budget that they were allotted so that they can get on paid advertising spends between now and the end of the program.
And when does the program end?
Program will be over, I believe, at the end of July, and at that point, they'll be looking for some form of renewal from us.
So I am a little confused here because I don't find Saturdays in Hudson to be days where we roll up the streets at 4 o'clock.
I would actually disagree with you, Margaret, because if you went outside this Saturday, there wouldn't be a soul around because of how cold it is. So programs like this are actually designed to provide more than just the restaurant and bar crowd to really create more of the behavioral shift. You're absolutely right in the warmer months, in the summer in particular, but I would absolutely disagree with you as a lifelong resident of Hudson on the weekends here.
Okay, roll call vote, please.
Alderman Anthony.
Aye.
Beth Galuti.
Aye.
Frick?
Aye. I'm going to show you my age. In my day, Thursdays was the big day. Some stores even stayed open to 11 o'clock.
But Dominic, you probably go back to Arthur's Court, so.
Yeah, exactly. Aye.
Thank you. Maura?
In the absence of more information, I have to say no.
Roni?
Aye.
Bauer?
Aye.
Walker?
Aye.
Wallace?
In the presence of all the information I need? Yes.
President DiPietro?
Aye.
Harry?
Okay, we're almost to the end here, folks. The next is a parking bureau, a few small fund transfers. Can I have an introduction, please?
Go on.
In a second. Come on.
Ronnie?
Thank you. Any questions? A roll call vote, please, Tracy.
Alderman Anthony.
Aye.
Escaludi?
Aye.
Frick?
Aye.
Moranti?
Aye.
Morris?
Aye.
Roni?
Aye.
Star?
Hey, Tom, I got a question, actually.
Okay.
There's a hospitalization. This is a grant, right?
No. This is just transferring funds. Hospitalization is just money in the hospitalization account.
Because we got the grant and Heather put this on our hospitalization account, I believe. No?
No.
Okay, yeah.
I'm sorry, your vote, Edmund Farah?
Thank you.
Walker?
Aye.
Wallace?
Aye.
President
CPHO. Aye. Now, the last resolution. This is actually the reason I asked Heather to be here tonight, which she graciously agreed to do. This is a very confusing, perhaps, resolution. And that's why Heather is here to explain what's going on here. Heather, are you still with us?
I am indeed.
There you go. Thank you.
Okay, so this is complicated. I'm going to do the best that I can to try and explain what's happening here. Please don't feel bad if it's not clear. It's incredibly complicated to explain. The end of 2019, the city entered into an agreement with Greenport Solar. And the concept was and is that Greenport Solar would basically attach itself to each of the city's national grid bills. They would provide credits based on their solar energy. We would receive those credits. We would in turn pay them back for 90% of the credits that they provided us. So net, the city enjoys a 10% discount based on these credits. The problem is, and that is true, and the city is receiving those credits. The problem is that it is an issue of timing. And I have my notes here somewhere that I'm going to go and find. So as far as I can tell, based on the information that I was provided, even though we entered into this agreement in 2019, they were still building their solar farm. We did not receive an invoice from them for their 90% of the credits until July of this year. Based on the way that they've billed, they apparently went live in January of 2021. But again, we didn't receive an invoice until July, and that invoice was in fact for May, dated May on their part, but for the billing period of January. So that raised a bunch of questions because some of us did not even know that the city had entered into the agreement. Then it got even more complicated because the invoices they were sending all said that, and actually I have documentation from the first people we reached out to, because I was like, this is clearly a mistake. You're sending it to the town of Hudson, and it's about the town of Hudson employees signing up for this. And it turned out that in fact, the city had signed up for it. So we did figure that out. And it wasn't the employees, obviously, it was the city itself. So the long and the short of it is that we didn't receive invoices until July of this year. So between July and November, 5 months, we actually had to pay 8 or 9 months of credits back to them, because the credits go back to January 1st. So the net result of that is that many of our systems have been, many of the budgets are actually significantly overspent. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, sorry, because my Zoom screen all of a sudden just went back to the generic join a meeting screen. So I just want to make sure I didn't cut off.
Nope.
So the long and the short of it is that technically, yes, we are getting that net 10% discount on our utility bills. What is unclear, given the fact that they started with this retroactive billing and that we also, you know, got bills for example, in July, we got a bill for January. Obviously, our January usage was much higher than our July usage. So once we pay that bill, it's actually more money out of the account than we had anticipated. What happens is that the credits, though, the credits that we're earning are building up at National Grid. Problem is, National Grid doesn't say, oh, look, you have all these credits. Let's reissue you a check for that amount. The credits just keep building. So it's an issue of timing where right now we have basically paid 9 months of credit to this vendor, and there's three vendor names, which makes it that much more confusing during a 5 month period. I think the most, you know, the first test is going to be how the bills come in for the next 4 months or so, because they are going to be our highest usage month. And conceptually, all these excess credits that we've built up should be able to be applied against these bigger bills for, you know, December, January, February. But since we don't know what those bills are going to be, we don't know when that credit is actually going to be used up. So literally the worst case scenario is we continue to have mild winters and we never use up the credits, and we keep accruing credits and the credits are higher than what we actually owe on the bills. And at the end of this 10-year agreement, we will end up with, you know, a significant amount of credits, which at that point can be used to pay down our National Grid bills, because we will no longer be receiving credits from this agreement. I certainly don't hope or anticipate it's going to be quite that extreme, but that's just where we are today. So basically, we have more credits than we can use, but we're still required to pay out in cash 90% of the value of those credits, even though we are not getting those credits received back in cash from National Grid.
Well, thank you, Heather. And you can all understand why I was hoping Heather would explain it. Question, Ryan.
Heather, I'm curious, and I know we're talking about two different energy generation sources here, specifically National Grid not relying on the solar component, but you've probably seen, as most individual consumers have, we all were told about the increase in electricity and gas prices to expect this fall. Is there any sort of separation within National Grid's billing that we are not being impacted by those increases in not delivery or transmission costs, but at least the generation costs, since we are technically claiming generation via the solar farm? Like, I guess more simply said, are we sure we're not being impacted at all by what National Grid is trying to raise its rates on consumers right now, in how this is going to net us out with the credits?
I have no visibility into that. Honestly, I don't handle billing. The individual departments handle their own bills. I just got involved in this because of the fact that multiple departments, as you can see from the resolution, yep, were coming to me saying our utility budget is going to be way, you know, we're going to blow past it. So I have no visibility on that. Sorry.
That might be something for us to bring up, because I mean, if like these numbers, I mean, I don't know what the annual cost for each of these would be, right? This is just the transfer for 2021, according to that last line here. But I wonder if that's what's having some of the impact, and where they're now not able to easily estimate, is that we didn't account for those notices that went out in late November.
Probably the best person to reach out for that would be Samantha Oliver, who's the DPW clerk, okay, because 99% of the National Grid bills are handled by her. Okay. I mean, the fire department has one, you know, senior department has one, youth department has one, but basically every other city building is handled by DPW. So she's been focused on this very much. And I'm happy to have a conversation, including both of you, but she can probably provide more insight than I can.
Heather, Heather, do you think it's worthwhile to have our new council attorney go over this contract yet again?
Everything that I have been told is that there is really no way for us to extract ourselves from it. Okay. So, and I mean, I will say once again, we are technically getting the 10% discount. It's not, but it's just, when are we actually going to recognize those savings as opposed to, you know, it's even to the point from my perspective, which is something that probably nobody else would think of here, but it's like, you know, there are things that we have to take into consideration when we are developing our balance sheets for the city. And one of those things is prepaid expenses. At what point is the amount of money that National Grid is holding on in terms of credits, at what point does that become technically or legally a prepaid expense that we have to record?
Right.
It also begs the question about whether or not, if they're holding the money, do we get any interest on that for any period of time? So, you know, it's a complicated thing.
Thank you again, Heather. Ronnie, do you have a question?
It's more of a comment rather, as to how the credit works. At least in my own experience, we have solar at our house, so maybe it could shed some light on how it may possibly work for the municipality as well. Usually, as Heather kind of pointed out, the credits kind of build up and then it doesn't start getting used until generation is less than how much is used. So if the credits have been built up or is now being built up at this month, it should generally just come into effect in the next month when I'm guessing, you know, January's bill is going to be way higher than how much is being generated because of all the platforms. The other thing is that at least National Grid, how consumers get billed, we actually get shown a 18-month usage. So we should be able to look at how, at least to estimate, how electricity or, you know, electricity, gas, or whatever it may be, was used in that last winter, and kind of have an idea as to how much we can possibly expect this year. Obviously, it's going to be an estimate, you know, things change. So maybe, obviously, this is not something that Heather is going to look at. She has noted that the DPW clerk kind of handles 99% of the bills. So, you know, that would be something we can discuss with her and DPW in general to try to get an idea as to next month and how much the bill might be affected. And usually they also show how much credit has been accrued as well.
Thank you. A roll call vote, please, Tracy.
I need an introduction.
Oh, I thought we had done that. I'm sorry. An introduction, please.
Hi, Ronnie.
And a second. Someone?
Vicki.
Oh, thank you, Vicki. Now a roll call vote.
Alderman Anthony.
Aye.
Seth Baludi.
Aye.
Frick.
Aye.
Moranti.
Yeah, thanks, Heather, for that explanation. I'm sorry, it's 5 minutes of my life. I'm probably not going to get back because I had no idea what that was. But obviously, this is something we can't get out of. So, I.
Morin?
Aye.
Roni?
Aye.
Sala? Walker?
Aye.
Wallace?
Aye.
President
DiPietro? Aye. Okay. Next, we have the bills. First, let me have an introduction, please.
You on?
And a second.
Theo.
Theo, thank you. Okay, questions? No questions. Okay, let's have a roll call vote, please, to pay the bills.
President DiPietro, could you just please provide the first motion?
I'm sorry, a motion to pay the bills?
Yes, please. I have Alderman Anthony as the second. I need the introduction.
Oh, it was...
I think it was Ronnie.
Yeah, it was Ronnie.
Okay, thank you. Alderman Anthony.
Aye.
Steph Galuti.
Aye.
Rick.
Aye.
Maranti.
Aye.
Hoy.
Aye.
Brony.
Aye.
Don.
DeJuan, are you there? Oh, there he is. He said aye.
Alderman Sauer, I didn't hear him. Sorry.
I said aye.
Thank you. Walker?
Aye.
Wallace?
I'm going to recuse myself since I'm on this one, Tracy.
President DiPietro?
Aye.
Harry?
Okay, the official business is done. Oh, now I can see everyone. Council members, do you have some new business or any? Oh, I see Vicky has her hand up.
Yes, I was out of Zoom a couple of times, and I was wondering, did we go through the Hudson Athens Lighthouse? Did we discuss this one?
I'm sorry, I
don't know.
One
of the resolution was about the Hudson Athens Lighthouse.
Communications, Tom.
No, that was in communications, thanking us for a resolution we did previously in the previous term. Okay. We supported them in their grant application, and they got it, and they were thanking us.
Okay.
Right. Malachi, you would like to speak?
Oh yeah, thank you, Doc. Sure. I'm just curious to know where we're standing right now with the security, for the.
Oh, good
city
question. I believe we have Michael Hoffman here to answer that.
Yeah. Hi. Sorry, Malachi. I do realize that I was meant to provide an update on that, but unfortunately, I don't have any more information. it's still very difficult to get in touch with these security firms, but I'm going to keep trying, and I'll let you know next month.
I appreciate that, Mike.
Of course.
Security for what? Sorry about that.
Security for City Hall.
Fortunately, I shouldn't say fortunately, but. Perhaps paradoxically, we have the protocol for COVID in place, so it's there's not really many people getting in freely the way there normally would be. So it takes away some of the urgency, I guess. Ryan, you're up next.
All right. So bolting on to the tourism thing, and I apologize for not having this out earlier for everybody, but I just wanted to share, I've been working between the Second Saturday Gallery team, Hudson Hall, and Wyndham Mountain. One of the things that we've been talking about at the end of last year and the beginning of this year with those teams is how do we find better synergies so that all parties can be lifted in terms of tourism-led initiatives that directly lead to overnight stays through which we can actually monitor and tie lodging and revenue tax benefits to. One of the things that we've worked on for the second Saturday in February, which also corresponds with Hudson Hall's Jazz Fest, as well as the gallery crawl, and it's Valentine's Day weekend, is an initiative where Wyndham Mountain has been able to set aside 75 ski pass tickets, as well as rooms through the Wick Hotel, that would be offered at a discounted rate to try to attract people to come up during what we know is the death of winter. I mean, I will challenge anybody to say that they saw a ton of people out walking this past weekend, given what the temperatures were here. And we know that it's a tough season where winter typically is slow and tough on businesses, specifically hotels, retail, and restaurants. So the idea for the synergy came together where if the city, through its tourism budget, were able to promote and take care of a bus that would transport people during the day to get them up here, they'd be able to enjoy skiing for the day on that Saturday and come back to Hudson for approximately 4:30 p.m., where then they have the opportunity to participate in the gallery crawl, to hit up retail establishments, to eat at the restaurants, and then obviously attend Hudson Hall's Jazz Festival as well. In pricing this out, what it came down to, and unfortunately Hudson itself doesn't have a transportation company, so working within the county through Johnson Transportation, I have a resolution drafted that I'd like to send relatively soon. So Tom, if we end up with a special meeting on the Dunn Warehouse, maybe we can wrap this into it.
Mm-hmm.
But the cost would be $2,160, excluding driver gratuity on the bus transportation. Based on what I know from the rates that will be offered through the WIC that weekend, and give me a moment here because I broke down the math, the rough estimate on just lodging tax alone for about 38 rooms, because you figure people come up typically in couples, two person per room, we would be making back roughly, bear with me, let me just find this breakdown here. It's essentially just over half. And again, bear with me, there's so many emails on this topic back and forth. So based on the weekend rate of $279, it brings us back $1,272.24 for those stays alone Friday through Sunday. That's not counting sales tax that we would bring in from the restaurants or potential retail sales as well. So why I think this experiment is worthwhile is that if we have the system of accounting in place where we know that our direct dollar investment monitored through the WIC is able to correlate the lodging tax spend that we would get back, and we're able to look at that moment in time to see how the sales tax and the retail tax would perform, we would be able to have a system in place to know whether or not that sponsoring transportation elements and try to create synergies between different organizations to create a weekend effect getaway up here during slower months that aren't necessarily supported by the broader involvement of the community in terms of what makes for good tourism. It might give us a roadmap for what we can do in the fall around harvest season and other elements and periods of time when we do get a lot of people that are coming up, but not necessarily those coming up that may have access to cars or vehicles, right? So it's how are we making things attractive in terms of easy transportation? How are we providing a list of things to do within the city? And how are we trying to keep it focused so people are to and from with a reason to enjoy a full weekend in Hudson and spend their dollars here? So that's something, Tom, if it's okay with you, I'd like to send it around to the council to take a look at, and we can post for public comment before
We'll get it out before a special meeting, because we're definitely going to schedule a special meeting to get that done. Now that I think about it, I will send out I'll work with Tracy to come up with a time, and we'll have a special meeting to consider both. Dominic, you're up next.
Thanks, Tom. So first I want to start with a comment on this weekend that I have, as a resident and as a member of the council, I have not been prouder of our departments, what they did between the fire department, excellent job. I think it was almost 24 calls within a day that they were out there. And those, the police department during the power outage were answering calls, and the DPW taxed with the snow removal. So I want to put some shout outs to those departments on the excellent job. When we need them, they were definitely there, and I am very proud. As an update, I want to do an update on our speeding situation, speed reduction 25 miles an hour. The law is in place in the state. Our next step, probably we'll see a resolution, to pay for the signage. It looks like between the two locations. About 1,600 hours, there are 100 hours assigned between the pole and the speed limit. But that, you know, that will get us in place. DPW said installing them is not going to be a big issue because it doesn't take much to install them. Vicki and I met with the chief and Rob on locations in the Fifth Ward. Chief is going to work on with his department on locations in the First Ward on Union Street. Hopefully by next informal meeting, we'll have a resolution to start the process to get the purchases of the signage. Another thing, you know, Saturday, understand.
Dominic, you're fading.
Figure out how we could prepare ourselves. You know, we were lucky it was only 3 hours, but I know after 45 minutes, my house got really cold. So I think, you know, the county has a plan, but they don't stick into almost 48 hours. So on a city level, I think we need a step in between, you know, of a plan each ward for warming stations, just have a plan in place because we have COVID now, you know, so we have to really think about if this was to happen again in a long time, in longer than 3 hours, what the plan can be. I think planning is going to be key here. Also, for the rest of the alders, you know, ready.org is a good resource for anyone looking for issues in terms of preparing for power outage in terms of your own household and some suggestions. And in looking forward, you know, to preparing for something like that, you know, again. So that's just, you know, I think, again, I talked to the county. They're willing to come in, have a conversation with council about on their end, you know, and bringing America Red Cross. So our new council can kind of see our resources, you know, and how that process is put into play. I'll be speaking to Tom when we can invite him to the council for an educational piece.
Okay. Thank you, Dominic. Heather, did you have something to add to all you've done, to all you've talked about tonight?
I did. Mm-hmm. No, just a very minor thing. Tom, you had mentioned before about encouraging everybody to become familiar with the budget and the different funds and all of that. And I know I made this available in the last week's meeting, but I just wanted to reiterate for anybody. I've already had a couple council people reach out to me and ask for a sit down to go through the budget, and I'm happy to do that. And I just wanted to reiterate that again for everybody else who's on the call, including the one that isn't officially allowed to vote yet.
Thank you, Heather. Margaret.
Yeah, I just wanted to, I know that several of us have been attending the NICOM New York Conference of Mayors webinars for new elected officials.
Mm-hmm.
They've been excellent. We have been through three of them so far. Fourth one is on Thursday. Today's meeting was on the law on open meetings. I believe Thursday is on finance. The session last week on ethics was excellent. I also reached out to them directly to see if there would be any possibility of having them come to Hudson and either via webinar or in person to do a session with us, specifically for us as a council. They're very open to that idea. I am hoping that most of us will be able to attend the conference. It's February 13th and 14th in Albany. Most of the activity is on the 14th, which is a Monday. It looks like they've got some really good topics that they're going to be addressing. And I'm hoping that as, you know, six of the nine council members are new. And I hope that we can just really embrace the resources that are available to us and get some really solid training in how to do this right.
Okay. Any more members of the council have anything to say? before we start opening up to the public. And the public is now open. Ron Kupnicki, you've been waiting patiently.
Yes, hi. Three brief comments. First of all, was the presentation by Adirondack on the agenda?
Yes.
Well, I didn't see it, so I apologize if I missed it. Okay. In connection with having special meetings, I might suggest that if Adirondack comes back with another presentation, that might be scheduled as a special meeting.
Okay.
Second, on 400 State Street, moving City Hall there now seems maybe it's a dead issue, but I think it would have been useful in the future when certain buildings are involved in projects. 400 State Street happens to be an individual landmark of the city of Hudson, and had the plan gone forward, or if there are any future plans for the building, the Historic Preservation Commission will be playing a role in that process, and I think people should be made aware of that. And finally, Dunn Warehouse and the DRI. The resolution mentioned the 23-member local planning commission for the DRI. It did not mention the successor DRI committee, which was set up by Mayor Rector and had its last official meeting, as far as I know, on December 2nd, 2020. I would like to ask if that committee is defunct.
Who are you asking?
I'm asking you or anyone else who knows. You were a member of the committee.
Yes, so I guess technically it's defunct. It was a mayoral committee, so if he hasn't been mayor for quite some time now. So
right, but you were on it.
I get it. I was on it.
So to the best of your knowledge, is it defunct?
You mean the committee
hasn't had any meetings since December 2nd, 2020.
Ron, I'm just trying to understand your question. If you're
My question is, does the DRI committee, which was set up by Mayor Rector, I believe, in the fall of 2018, and had meetings until December 2nd, 2020, which dealt with DRI issues like the Dunn building, and has not had any meetings since then, is that committee no longer in existence? Is it no longer operating?
The committee, as established by former Mayor Rector, does not exist anymore.
Okay, and there are no plans to revive it.
That's up to the mayor and his aide.
Again, as far as you know, there are no plans to revive.
Well, unless there's a need for it.
Then you don't think there is a need.
I didn't say that.
Okay, well, so then we don't know what you think about it. Well, I was going to ask, therefore, going forward with the Dunn Warehouse, for example, when there are responses to the request for proposals, who will be representing the city in connection with whatever developers might come forward?
Well, that's a good question. We will have to assemble a committee to evaluate the responses.
And when that committee is assembled, will the public and the council in public forums such as these meetings be kept apprised of developments?
Definitely, because if any decision has to be made, it'll have to be made in public.
So then updates will be given at council meetings.
Well, if the council's involved, yes.
So then they will be, if the council's involved.
Correct.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Anyone else in the public have comments or questions? Well, I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
I will motion.
Do I have a second? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay, this meeting's over. Thank you all for attending. And thank you. I didn't get to hear your answer. Our city attorney was under the weather. Are you better, Crystal? I couldn't hear you, sorry.
No, I'm sorry. I was having issues with you. Yes, I am much better.
Okay.
And also in response to the other question you had for Heather too, I'd be more than happy to take a look at that contract too and just see what everyone had talked about and what eyes had looked at it.
Great. And there's a lot of new business for you to look at as well. Anyway, we've had a motion adjourned. It's been approved. Goodbye, everybody. Thank you.
Good night, everyone.
Goodbye, all.